Broadcasting almost live from the Tushow headquarters in Chicago, Illinois, this is TWAT 4 on September 22nd, 2005. Episode 4 for September 22nd, 2005. Today, we will be discussing one of our favorite topics, which is Wi-Fi and future of Wi-Fi, specifically 802.11n technologies. And who we got here today, we got Jay Hood, everyone knows from the show. We got...
what's up?
Yeah, that's him. We got Tabak over there.
Hello, hello.
And we got our guest, which is Jared, who's going to be talking about some Wi-Fi things right now. So let's go to him and have him explain some of the basics of 802.11n and why it's important and why you should pay attention to it in the future.
Okay, so 802.11n is called MIMO. It's multiple input, multiple output, M-I-M-O. And so the advantage of this, you know, instead of working on just one antenna, it works on three antennas. So it triples the range of 802.11g. So it's going to be really fast. Right now, we have stuff out there that's called pre-N, and it can get up to 100 megabytes. However, with research that's going on, supposedly it's going to be able to go up to 540 megabits. Now, that's a bit extreme, so it should be very influential in the future. However, you know, how good it sounds, you know, there's some bad things about this. You know, when you have networks overlapping, you may have interference from that, and then you may have problems with companies who would be providing this, because why would a company want to extend the range of it and basically, you know, have other people leech off of it like a free hotspot, which Nick Tabak will be talking about with NeighborNode. Why would a phone company like Vonage or anything else want to, you know, give that out almost for free when they could have the range shorter and be getting more money? In my opinion, you know, it's going to be very bad for the phone companies, the online phone companies, and they're just not going to really want to do that. They're not going to really push for it. However, another bad thing about it, you know, it's going to be really expensive when it first comes out. Everything that eventually benefits humanity, it's always expensive when it comes out. You know, railroads, guns, anything is always expensive. However, when more people buy into it, if more people get interested into it, they're going to buy more of it. It's going to go, you know, prices are going to shoot down. However, you need to have big spenders, say Comcast, Charter Digital Cable, you know, people from the business sector, private sector, government sector, you know, all get in there and put their support in it and just put lots of money into it. However, I really don't think that's going to happen. However, you know, it may turn out a different way. I think that it'd be really nice if it came through really well as a new technology. It would make things a lot easier. It's, you know, it's going to be a lot faster. It's going to be three times as fast. But, you know, what would be the benefits of having faster things, you know, for the common person? What's your opinion of this, Tabak?
Well, first off, the government needs to get its act together, because they've already been passing laws that let all the major players privatize, and they're pushing all the smaller internet providers out of business. So that's really giving people a problem, because it's letting all the superpowers kind of just take even more. Basically, we're screwed right now if the government doesn't get its act together and start giving us some freedom.
Speaking of authority, one of the main problems with Wi-Fi N right now is that it's taken so long to get out. The estimated time that it's going to take to get out is not until April of 2007, because of all the licensing and all the political bullshit that's going on with it. Mainly, all the companies that are fighting for the patent to use this MIMO technology, which was originally patented 1984, if I believe, by some guy for some reason, not for Wi-Fi, but... So mainly the big problem right now is trying to figure out who gets the licensing to use this new protocol. There's two main groups fighting for this. The first is TGN Sync, and it's comprised of big companies like Airthros and Intel, I think. There's another one in there, forget it. The second one is WWISE, which is, you know, Texas Instruments and Broadcom and Kinextant, I think, is in that one. And so right now they're basically just fighting over this this licensing and trying to figure out who can do this kind of thing.
All right, so I got something to say finally, and what I think a big debate about this is I don't think a lot of the big companies are going to be coming into this because of security, obviously. I mean, if you're going to have three times the range, you're going to be able to access, open the access points much more easily. Right now, a big security feature in a lot of places is for Wi-Fi is that they have like directional Wi-Fi access points where it'll only allow you to access within a certain range of the building with like certain walls or a certain measure or whatever. And with this, if you know you're going to have three times the range, you could access for a high-rise city access point from on the street three blocks down or something like that. And it's a lot easier to run away and a lot harder to get caught, a lot easier to check things when you know, it's you're going so fast and from so far away.
Speaking of security, hopefully they'll be coming out with some new web encryption schemes and things like that to you know, help aid against that, because WEP is crackable, as we know right now, as we all know too well. It's easily crackable by capturing, you know, packets and decrypting the WEP key, and hopefully there will be some security. But for right now, there is some people open that are trying to provide open access points and, you know, building community networks based on Wi-Fi so that there's free Wi-Fi anywhere and, you know, everyone can set up a free Wi-Fi access point with just a, you know, $70 initial investment in the ISP and hopefully, you know, build some community networks. So here's Tavik right now. He's going to tell us a little bit about some community networks. This one organization is called, Tavik, what's this organization called?
It's called NeighborNode, and it was started by a New York University graduate student named John Geraci as a way to add a community aspect to using someone's Wi-Fi.
All right, so what do you think is, what's involved with getting one of these things set up and building these? What's involved with building a community Wi-Fi network?
Well, first off, they use their own firmware, which requires you to have a Linksys WRT54G or the GS router. You email them, or actually we're going to be mirroring this firmware. You load it on just like you would any other firmware, and once you do that, you set it up. It'll be all set up and open. It'll allow you to let someone use your network publicly, and basically, yeah.
Okay, so what are some advantages? Is there any corporate backing to these types of community networks that are built by, you know, people in the community themselves building these things and letting other people use them? Is there any law enforcement involved and things like that?
Well, for the most part, most companies, with the exception of providers like Speakeasy, they literally require that you do not share your connection with anyone, and if they do catch it, they might revoke your connection or they'll limit you in some way, shape, or form. And that's obviously a problem that several people are facing, because most of these providers are actually slipping it into your contract, if you sign one, that you are required to keep your network secure or otherwise prevent anyone else from using it, and that'll probably scare a couple people off right there.
Yeah, I think one of the main reasons they're doing that is, you know, the abuse that certain open access points would get. Maybe not specifically these community networks that are being built, but other people, you know, noobs that just go out and buy, you know, the typical Linksys access point. So I think we need to see some changes in these contracts that, you know, will specifically state that if you're running a community network or something like that, that there will be something in the contract that will allow you to share your connection safely and publicly like that. Anybody else got input on this?
Yeah, I got something to say. I'm very unfamiliar with the community Wi-Fi thing, but I was wondering, what's the type of security on this? Like, if you're going into the community where it's at or whatever, like, what access do you have? Do you have full admin? You can set up port forwarding in the router or whatever you want, or, technically you could be malicious and damage it, or, well, how is all that set up, or is it just a user-based account?
Well, I don't know for certain, but I'd assume pretty much all the ports are forwarded. You pretty much have full reign going on there, but obviously the downside to that is you could obviously, like you just mentioned, use it for malicious stuff. Like, spammers could easily just get on and start sending out a million messages using your connection, and Otherwise, you could have like people uploading porn and other illegal stuff, and you'd be the one with the logs, and you'd be the one to blame for it, whoever owns the public access route point. So literally, if people are doing something illegal and you're caught with it, you're screwed.
I think basically how it would be set up is if you ever use like a Starbucks access point, I think it'd basically be a free Starbucks access point. I've never used one of these community networks. They're not really out where we are. Where are these things mostly at, Tavik?
Well, according to what I've got here, New York City's got 18 of them. There are a couple other nodes. It's not really taking hold yet. It's just starting to get in there. But we've got a couple mentioned in Oklahoma and actually one in Puerto Rico. So it's not real widespread, and unless we see some backing from like the government and all the major providers taking all those little provisions out of their contract to prevent people from doing this, you're probably not going to see much more of this.
Yeah, I definitely think they need to think of a good security scheme for this, because even with a Starbucks, even though they have some security where you have to go in there and do whatever you need to do to get on the network, you can, if you're on the network already, you can damage things, and if you want to bad enough, you can, you know, destroy their network. So if it's going to be free for everybody, you know, there's going to be some little asshole that's going to come by, and some little script kitty running auditor or something, and going to come by and try to destroy everything and ruin everybody else's fun. So they're going to have to think up something for that.
Yeah, the main thing is people are going to have to learn, you know, how to secure these access points properly and not allow, you know, the typical Romanian script kitty to come in there and start fucking stuff up.
Yeah, because, I mean, everybody, even with people today using regular WEP, and I mean, WEP is a secure network. I mean, of course, you can get to it. It doesn't really live up to the wired equivalency privacy, you can get into it, but they're going to have to think of something better than that, because people today, they just apply WEP to their router. They leave it on default, and if you know the default WEP key to whatever router it is, I mean, usually there's like four of them that are defaulted. You can get in with the default WEP key, and most people don't even know how to do that or put it on like 128 key or whatever.
Okay, so while we're on the subject of community networks, a relatively new thing that's been happening is Google's been starting these community networks. Anybody know anything about these? Yeah, nobody knows anything, but I've heard that Google bought all this dark fiber, and they go and they light up this dark fiber, and they start providing internet, I think, to San Francisco. If I wasn't lazy, I'd pull it up and look, but I'm pretty sure San Francisco or California or something like that has basically free Wi-Fi provided by Google, and it's all tunneled. All right, Jared's got something to say. Let's talk about this here. What do you got, Jared?
I remember reading something online about Huntington Beach. I'm not sure if it was San Francisco or not. I believe it was Huntington Beach, though. But they're trying now to basically offer free Wi-Fi to the whole city. And, you know, that's going to be a really big task. You know, you're offering free Wi-Fi to the whole city. Just think of, you know, how slow it's going to be. You know, like you said earlier with the neighbor node thing, and just like any Starbucks place or any access point, you know, when it's open to anyone, you have the problem of someone coming in and, you know, just hacking it. And when you cover a whole city such as San Francisco, you know, you're not necessarily going to be able to find those people at all. It's going to be a big under-challenge, but however, an advantage, you know, to having people who are going to try to mess up the stuff is, you know, you need to have people who are going to basically fight back. You know, you need to have the nerds in there somewhere. So you basically get more jobs, you know, the economy grows, you know. So I think that by Google doing that, that would benefit, you know, the San Franciscan or Huntington Beach economy. It sounds like a very good idea. They just need, you know, to find out security measures and how to secure it and just all sorts of stuff like that. That's my opinion on it, though, at least.
And I just looked up here, and I'm reading that they have two nodes in Mountain View, California, a pizza parlor and a gym, and it's right by Silicon Valley over there. And so I guess that's where they're starting off. They probably have more than that. This was an old news feed. But yeah, and what they're going to have to, I would wonder what kind of connection they would have to do for that, because, I mean, if you're going to try to cover a whole city like San Francisco, you know, you got however many thousands of people trying to access one connection at once, or I mean, of course, they probably do many multiple connections, but you got to think about the bandwidth that's going through, and if you know, people are going to be downloading things at 800K down or whatever, and you know, you have thousands of users, you got to think about how that's going to affect everything, and if everybody's going to be running slow as shit.
Yeah, I think about speed, I think they've got, they bought up all that dark fiber, so you're basically connected directly into Google. I mean, your host would be an @google.com address. I'm curious as to what speed they got on that, too.
Well, first off, they've been, like you said, they've been buying up all this dark fiber. They've been buying everything that they can find that has that's currently not in use, and anything they can get their hands on for cheap. It's going to be free ad-based, so pretty much you might have a couple ads inserted here and there from Google with their AdSense stuff.
I got it.
Shoot.
All right. Also, with the advent of their community networks, they've also released a secure VPN client, which is pretty cool because you can use it anywhere you are, not just on the wireless. But what it allows you to do is, even if you're on, like, say you're on some community network and you're using, it's not encrypted, it's not WEP. Anybody else that's on that network, either wired or wireless, could be intercepting your traffic, picking up your conversations or your email or your credit card numbers or whatever. But what Google has done is they've made this secure VPN client, and what it allows you to do is you're basically encrypted on, I think it's 128-bit, I don't know the algorithm that they use, but you're connected at 128 bits to Google's central servers, and so everything between you and Google is encrypted, which eliminates the problem with you know, people on the network sniffing you.
Yeah, I just looked at Google's Wi-Fi protection for this, and it's dubbed Google Secure Access, and it's just the Wi-Fi connection that they're having. And like you were just saying, basically what it does is it does everything. It routes all traffic through Google, and that way it secures it because it's going through them. But another thing you got to think about with that is, you know, privacy, because, I mean, everybody already knows Google owns the world right now. I mean, they host your blogs, they know what you search, they know where you live, you know, like, everybody uploads all this information, you know, Google Earth, all their services they have, I'm sure they have databases on every single person, knows, like, you know, got an aerial shot of their house, all that, and, you know, this will just allow that more, if Google is being like that, which I'm sure they are, because they're planning to take over the world.
Okay, I feel we've, all right, go ahead, Jared.
And what James kind of said, you know, I think it's basically going to happen, you know, no matter what or how long it takes. It's not basically when, but if, or no, not if, but when someone will undertake this, either Google or something else, to basically host a city Wi-Fi for, you know, somewhere in California, say Cupertino or San Francisco, New York City, you know, maybe out in Algonquin or Lake in the Hills up here in Illinois. However, you know, with that, the host just has, you know, so much power over it, and I'm not really too keen on that, just kind of leading on what James says, you know, it's a bad parallel, but it's almost like, you know, Skynet from the Terminator, basically, you know, the computers come after you and kill you. As stupid that is to say, you know, I'm one of those people who doesn't really, you know, like to have that much technological control placed upon me. I would rather, you know, be free, but it's still very interesting. But, so I see that, you know, it's very beneficial, you know, everyone's able to get onto the network, and that'd be really good to do, and people would get more in contact with each other. However, you know, while we do have all these global communications, you know, people don't ever really communicate to each other. They just talk, and they talk, but they never communicate. That's just my input on it, though.
And Jared's busting out with a little Sean Kennedy-style ranting right there. But not to draw off the topic, but I'm confused. Did Tabak say porn, like, 10 minutes ago? I don't know. That's probably the first time he's ever said that. But continue.
Yes, Tabak mentioned porn. I think what he was looking at was the illegal aspect of it, you know, like, say, kiddie porn in, from Cambodia, not, you know, legal American porn that is 18 years or older. Kiddie porn, not legal porn. He was talking about, you know, the illegal porn that people get busted for.
Yeah, you know, spamming and all kinds of things like that. There's all kind of bad things that you want to stay anonymous for online, you know, hacking or spamming and stuff like that.
Make your penis grow in 10 hours.
Yeah, exactly. We all know Tavik has seen those emails. Alright, anyway, I think we've beat the Wi-Fi topic to death, so let's start closing up here. Anybody got any projects to plug? Who's got projects to plug? Hood, plug to show.
Well, we have the project that we're currently working on, Twat. You can reach that at twattech.org, is it? I don't know. .org? Yeah, it's twattech.org. You know, we got our web TV show. It's coming out with a new episode on October 1st. That would be show.org, T-E-H, show.org. You know, you got to check out Hacker Media, hackermedia.org, Infonomicon, infonomicon.org. They got some great radio shows and came out with Infonomicon TV6. And I don't know, that's about all I can think of at the moment.
Yeah, I have a project that's coming up. I hopefully, you know, like to maybe tomorrow or this weekend basically hook up the webcam or a webcam to my car and, you know, just show any of you from the South, you know, how bad these Yankees up here drive. You know, they're crazy. But I just want to go on some car exploits, you know, maybe go to war driving and show you a bit of that. You know, I'm kind of new to this, so it excites me in a non-sexual way, of course. But, That's pretty much all that's going on. Also, what Nick had said earlier about the firmware, you know, you can reach the firmware from any of us. Mine specifically is ssjgogeta88@gmail.com. So if you need the firmware for NeighborNote, if you're interested, just, you know, drop us a line.
And going along with the emails there, my personal email at jhood is jhood@show.com or fucking A, tishow.org, jhood@tishow.org.
NickTavick@gmail.com, that's NickTavick@gmail.com. Also got a site going on, that would be limptrizkit.digitalmassacre.com. And that's about all I got to plug.
And I'm everyone's favorite, Linlin, and I'm linlin@tishow.org, and this has been TWAT4. Audio accompaniment for TWAT Episode 4, shamelessly stolen from the soundtrack of our lives.